land of ours is under attack. The time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll dance your fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
To hour number two on this absolutely terrific Tuesday, July 9th, 2024 edition, Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Joining us in this half hour slot every Tuesday is Ian Murphy, the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse there in downtown Gaylord. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning from downtown Alpenfest, Gaylord.
Yes. We got to make sure we let people know who's in control of city of Gaylord. But I just read a story, Ian, talking about the ballot initiative to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour failed. It was not approved by the State Board of Canvassers because they, once they started collecting signatures, they actually changed the language. They took it to the Michigan Supreme Court. The Supreme Court denied the appeal, meaning the ballot proposal will not appear on this November 2024 ballot. However, Democrat State Representative Donovan McKinney is calling on the legislature to legislatively enact the ballot proposal. If this gets done by the Democrats before the end of the year, Ian, what would this do to small restaurants like yours and other mom pas and even the big corporate restaurants, Cracker Barrel, Chee Chee's, all these places? What would it do to restaurants?
Well, I'll tell you, if there is any indicator of a person that has failed a economics 101 class or a the idea of what free enterprise actually is, specifically in this country, too, all you have to look at is somebody that is advocating for an arbitrary wage. In my opinion, the real minimum wage is zero. I believe every employee has the right to basically go to an employer and negotiate their wage, right? They can do that to a degree now. The answer to your question is it changes the entire dynamic and the formula, if you will, that restaurants have been working on forever, right?
There's since the beginning of time, basically.
Since there is a certain percentage allotted towards labor, a certain percentage allotted towards your food costs and overhead. The rest is what we in the business call profit. That's why we start businesses, is to create a profit, is to put money in the pockets of the people that work for you, and you hope at the end of the day that there is enough left over for you to recoup your investment at minimum. When arbitrary laws like minimum wages are put in by the legislature, even in a situation where a petition drive, a citizen-led petition drive, failed, you have to look at what's really behind that. And in my opinion, something like this has always been done to their base to try and garner votes and keep their base happy, right? If you look at the Democrat platform over the decades, it has been trying to lift up the little guy, right? Lift up the impoverished person. That is a very noble cause. The way in which they do it, by robbing from other people, I disagree with. When you look at these types of things, I'll go back to the people that advocate for such things are the ones that did not do well in an economics 101 class, whether in high school or in college. And then I'll go further and say this. These people that are advocating for this, at least in the legislature, have probably never owned a business, to say nothing of a restaurant, where removal of the tip credit has a huge impact on our business. That's the one I'm watching for.
Absolutely. We're going to take a short break. A word from our other sponsors. Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse there in Gaylord. Take a short break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Hey, Patriots, this is the boss of Veteran John, his wife, Jamie, in Sheboygan. Taste the purest artesian water on God's green earth, Mega Water. PFAS-free, mineral-rich, naturally alkaline, 8.3 pH, and veteran-owned. Go to megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. That's megawater.com or call 231-818-9700. Call us today to taste the pure difference.
Hi, this is Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouse in downtown Gaylord. Join me every Tuesday at 10 a.m. with Trucker Randy for an update on all things happening at the Iron Pig. We're open 7 days a week and serving breakfast Saturdays and Sundays. You can order online anytime for takeout, curbside, and delivery at ironpigsmoke.com. And be sure to keep up with our legal battle against the health department by subscribing to our podcast at fuelcasttv.com.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. I support this show, and I would like to offer you our biggest discounts for listening. So please go to our website, MyPillow.com, and put in the promo code at the end of this message to get the biggest discounts. Again, thanks for listening, and God bless.
Thanks, Mike. Folks, go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code TruckerRandy, or call 800-654-9659.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. Staying on through the break is Ian Murphy. And Ian, you had sent me some documentation, some court documents regarding your lawsuit that you have appealed Judge Hunter's decision, and you just heard the commercial about people following you, fuelcasttv.com, to get updates. Explain to the people those documents that you sent to me and what's happening in your lawsuit.
Well, a little thing happened a couple of years ago when we won in January of 2022, our first win against the health department with Judge Hunter. The health department, the state health department, I should be specific, immediately filed for an appeal. And then the very next day, they filed for what's called a bypass application, which would leapfrog over the Court of Appeals and have the Michigan Supreme Court directly hear this case, because at that time, they felt that Judge Hunter's ruling was very dangerous and could have very dangerous applications. I mean, A.G. Nessel even came out and said so herself, that Hunter's ruling could have disastrous consequences for the state. I mean, just ridiculous hyperbole.
People are going to die.
People are going to die.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
So what we did is we filed for an appeal for the other statutes that Judge Hunter more or less didn't address. That went to the Court of Appeals and is filed. Then what we did on July 3rd, day before Independence Day, we figured, you know what? What's good for the goose is good for the gander. So we also filed a bypass application to leapfrog over the Court of Appeals to get directly to the Michigan Supreme Court, where also the T&V Associates case, which also involves MCL 333.2253, which we always talk about, which is now unconstitutional. They have not said that they're going to take that case yet. It's on application. Now, ours is also sitting there on a bypass application. Now, what happened last time is the Michigan Supreme Court said, you know what? We want to hear this case, but we feel it proper that the lower court, if they feel necessary, that they take it and hear it first, which is what they did. So they kicked it back down to the lower court of appeals. And then the health department gave up their appeal against us because they got a win over in the court of claims against T&V Associates. That got overturned on the court of appeals. So the health department is handed two losses. That's why they're trying to appeal that to Michigan Supreme Court. So what I would like to see is these justices take our case and T&V and probably adjudicate them together. I don't think that that will happen, but it could happen.
Okay, because, point of clarification. I want to stop you right there. They have not yet accepted the application from the other lawsuit, T&V, right? They haven't absolutely accepted it as an appeal to the Supreme Court. It's only at this point an application for them to consider.
Yes, and I had to argue this with the local health department's attorney. I think you were there at that meeting where he insisted that the Michigan Supreme Court was briefing this thing. They have not even come close to that.
Right.
So it's now, just sitting there.
So, and now with you, the day before Independence Day, filing your request, this would put, I would think, even more pressure on the Michigan Supreme Court to say, look, it, we need not only to take up the T&V case, but we also have to take up the Iron Pig. Let's consolidate these and adjudicate them both at the same time. Wouldn't that make sense from a judicial standpoint for the Supreme Court?
I would think so. Now, it's interesting because the appeal is by a government agency and the T&V side. And then my appeal is against a local government agency, the local health department of Northwest Michigan here. So I'm not sure about the legality of blending them together because they are sort of opposite of each other. But the cases
different defendants is what you're basically saying.
Yes. And it has happened before. So I believe that there could be. But we do have to remember that this Supreme Court is leaning towards the Democrat side right now, which I believe is partly why they have not accepted the T&V Associates appeal, which is why I'm also advocating for people to really look at the Michigan Supreme Court races, because there are a couple of seats that are, well, one's being vacated, one is up again for the appointee. And I think there might be one other that's open. So we really need to pay attention to the Supreme Court here in Michigan this November, too.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I personally have endorsed judge that is a real judge who actually has judge experience.
Yes.
Boonstra.
Boonstra. Yeah, he's a court of appeals judge.
Yes.
Yep. Yep. Good. Did good judge.
I did not know this. Do you know all of the Democrat appointments that have been put on the Michigan Supreme Court lately by this governor have never had judicial experience?
Yeah, and I'm not surprised by that. I feel like that is an attempt to muddy down, you know, what used to be the requirements, if you will, for a Michigan Supreme Court. You know, I think at and I don't know if he got signatures in time. I'm not really sure, but I think even Matt DiPerno was considering running for one of those seats as well. So I don't know, but I do believe those positions, the Court of Appeals positions and the Michigan Supreme Court and Supreme Court positions for that matter, should be prior juris. Those are really important positions, and they have to be based on the Constitution, and the Constitution gets more workout in the judicial branch than any other.
Absolutely. Alexandria Taylor is the black attorney from Southfield who's challenging the black Michigan Supreme Court justice who was appointed. She's never been elected. And
yeah.
She's trying to play the race card, the Democrat is. So Alexandria Taylor said, okay, if you're going to play the race card, then I'm going to run against you, and I'm a black woman. So good luck with playing the race card against me. It's going to be very interesting. And I think we may have a possibility because of the direction of the presidential ticket at the top. As long as we can get people informed and engaged about Supreme Courts, which is nonpartisan, there's not an RRD behind their name, we have to educate the people and make sure they know who the good candidates are to support.
Yeah. And most of them need to be small government. We've got to get back to talking about small government. And all these Supreme Court rulings that we've talked about recently are all heading and pointing in that direction, that we've got to shrink the size of not just the federal government, but as we see here in Michigan, the state government is crushing everybody. More and more guidelines are being put on getting professional licenses here in the state. These things all dissuade people from starting their own business with these things on these small licenses. Thankfully, this equity stuff hasn't come into my licensing situations yet, but we do see it happening with hairstylists and some of these other folks that have to get licenses to do business. They're starting to see some real crazy requirements coming through.
Unbelievable. You mentioned the two United States Supreme Court rulings that went down, I believe, about a couple of weeks ago, a week and a half ago. Chevron and the other one. I wanted to ask you about that specifically because you felt that that was a huge ruling by the Supreme Court that's going to affect not only state government but also federal government. And I want you to explain that again to the folks that did not hear your interpretation of what the Supreme Court came out with.
Yeah, so the two cases you're referring to have to do with Chevron deference, which is a case back from, I think, 84, which basically got overruled last week, and then Jarkissi. So Chevron, really quick, basically what that ruled back in the 80s was that the judges in these administrative agencies, or any other judge for that matter, basically has to give deference to the agency or the director that created the rule based on the legislation that was passed, either at the state level or at the federal level. So really what it did is it put the finger on the scale in favor of the government agency that was being brought into court or was trying to institute a rule, or in the case recently, it was for some fishermen, I believe, that had to have – these cases get a little bit mixed up because they're kind of on the same track.
Sure.
So the Chevron basically tipped the scales in favor of the government agency, federal or state. So it was a big uphill battle. And we saw that here with us, with the Health Department, Liquor Commission, MIOSHA, Michigan Department of Agriculture, all of these things. It's part of the mechanism that gave these agencies such immense power to basically write law. And most of us know that that's not how our founding fathers intended it. Law is supposed to be written by the legislature. It's only supposed to be interpreted by the judicial branch and then executed by the executive branch. The other case, Jarkasi, what that said is, again, like our founding fathers, it was one of the 27 grievances in the Declaration of Independence, was a trial by jury of our peers. An administrative proceedings. Again, I was never afforded this and never got to win in administrative court. What the Jarkasi ruling says now is in administrative rulings, these defendants should get a right to a jury trial by their peers. We have never been afforded that. I say we because I went through three of these state agencies and never got a fair ruling. And all of these judges are appointees. They're not elected by we the people. They're appointed most likely and most oftentimes by the executive branch leader.
The governor.
The governor. Yep. So that is where all this power, when you combine it with Chevron and the fact that we never get a jury trial, all of the power, again, the scale is tipped, is so weighed in favor of the government, it's not a fair trial at any level. And that is huge. Now, what that's going to force our legislators at the federal level and at the local level and state level is that they're going to have to make these laws more specific. And when I say 2253 is unconstitutional, the reason why it was unconstitutional, Judge Hunter said, is because it's too ambiguous. To limit the gathering of people for any purpose and may establish procedures, the executive branch agency took that and implemented social distancing, mask requirements, sign-in sheets, curfews, 12 people in your home for Thanksgiving, all of the crazy stuff that we always talk about. That's how she was able to do that. Even after her executive orders were ruled unconstitutional, they literally the next day turned to the executive branch agency, pulled out this ambiguous statute, 2253, and said, wow, look at that. We can limit the gathering of people for any purpose.
Right.
Oh, and we can establish procedures? Look at that. That's what we want. And they then wrote law around that. That is what our whole case has been about. These two SCOTUS cases are two more bullets in our gun, if I can use that expression.
Absolutely, you
it's,
can.
It's amazing. And we've been watching both of these cases. We knew when SCOTUS took those cases, given Gorsuch's past on other rulings against the SEC, against the EPA, we had a very good feeling that both Chevron was going to be overturned and Jarkasi was going to allow jury trials at administrative rulings.
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Came up at our meeting last night for the Antrim County Conservative Union, and we talked about the Fun Shoot Pig Roast that you're providing the labor for us this year. Mm-hmm. Excited. And they said, yeah, we heard you and Ian talking about these Supreme Court decisions on the show. And they said, man, it's absolutely amazing. Not one other media, news, nobody, radio shows, the 9 and 10, 7 and 4, 29 and 8, not one of them talked about those Supreme Court decisions.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, part of the reason why is because they're lofty. You can't get them in their predetermined soundbite time. Right?
2 to 3 minutes can't cover it.
It's very difficult to do for anybody to really understand and then to try and explain what happens next. That's really what we have to talk about, is what are the consequences moving forward for these things, and more specifically, what does it mean for the people that write our laws? And I'd like to say that's the legislature, but we know that special interests get involved in writing laws, and at times these administrative agencies do. So
absolutely,
there's a lot going on.
We'll talk about it next week on the show. In the meantime, even though Alpenfest is crazy busy right now, go and support them. Have breakfast this weekend at the Iron Pig, downtown Gaylord. Ian, we greatly appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, brother, as always.
Bottom of the hour news break. We'll be right back.
Michigan News Source is brought to you by My Pure Health Solutions. If you want to lose weight and feel great with a custom program, it's time. My Pure Health Solutions.
From Michigan News Source, I'm Cheryl Fritz. Our top story this hour, most details about the early Sunday morning shooting that killed two people and wounded 19 others in Detroit won't be released anytime soon. That according to Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy. Police officials said Monday there were multiple shooters but didn't indicate anything else about possible suspects or a motive. Worthy said the investigation is going to take a long time because police officers are going through mountains of evidence. Detroit Police Chief James White said his investigation will focus on the crime itself and the police response. He added there were three 911 calls that officers were